Okay, this is March 9th, and the topic this month is it necessary?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It's the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. Now that we have daylight savings time and the weather is wonderful and the air is wonderful, everything seems to be wonderful, are people looking around and noticing all the life that is popping up here, there, and everywhere? And when you take a walk, can you actually feel the life around you and start to absorb that life? Because we're all one. We're all one. We're not different, you know. A tree and a human, both God. Trees just can't. They don't have legs. They don't move. They're stationary. So you have to look at all that stuff and say, it's all one with me. And there's life going in there. What life? The life of the universe. The life of God. And right now in the spring, all that life is springing to life again. All that life is springing up. When we say such is the nature of life and all they ask and all at once is an opportunity to appear, I don't know how many people realize that when in Egypt, I know, that when they discover a tomb or something, 2,000 years or more old, and in that tomb is seeds, especially wheat usually. Now the wheat has been sitting there for 2,000 years, waiting for an opportunity to appear. And as soon as they take that out and plant it and water it, that seed will sprout after 2,000 years. It just sits and waits patiently. This is what God does. God just sits and waits patiently for the opportunity to come. That wheat does not know it's been there for 2,000 years. Only we measure time. That wheat only knows the now, only knows that it has potential. And that's what you must know. That it's only the now we're ever working with. And we're working with potential that's inside of us. And we constantly, here come two late people, love.
Good,
you didn't wait.
You have a hall pass.
Andy,
I think you need to sit outside.
Andy, take their names down.
Oh,
we were lost.
They were
right there.
You know, they ended very nicely and politely and quietly. You guys are the ones who disrupted.
Yes. We wanted to.
We had to make a big deal.
We had to make a big deal. So anyway, we're talking about the potential of God, the potential that is inside of you. And we want to look at all those things that are inside of us, and we want to bring them to the forefront. And use all the wonderful qualities that we have. We think, oh, well, they may be in there, but I'm not going to look for them. You have to look for all the qualities. We all have it. We all have those qualities. We were born with them. They're intrinsic within us. So I have the same exact same qualities that you people have. We just choose to use them differently, that's all. But you have to know that you have those things and start to use all your God potential. That's all this life is about. Discovering all the potential in you. Discovering that potential is this thing that we call God. This life that we call God. So in the springtime, when you're out walking, you can actually, it's palpable. The life coming up, all that's around you, the trees, everything budding and so forth. If you stand a moment, excuse me, you'll be able to feel the life that is around you all the time. And that life is the life of God. And that life is making all the things happen. It's only one life doing that. It's not the life of me and the life of a tree or the life of a plant or a flower. All the same. It's all the same. And we have to start to realize that and feel that in us. This is what this teaching is about. That everything is inside of us. And there's nothing outside of life. We see things outside of life, but we made all that stuff up. None of this stuff means anything. So, which happens to be the first thing in the Course in Miracles. If you ever read the Course in Miracles, the first thing it says is, nothing in this room means anything. Nothing in this room means anything. The only thing that ever means anything is what's going on here. What's going on in your mind? So that's why this month we're saying, is it necessary? Is it necessary to do the crazy, convoluted thinking that you're doing? No, it is not. Stop doing that to yourself. How many people replay what went on? You replay things. Why? That's like eating yesterday's leftover. You've already lived that. It's not going to change at all. And we do that to ourselves constantly. Well, if this would have happened, or that would have happened, or that was nice, but if this, and we play what we have just finished over in our minds. And think it's going to be different. It's never going to be different. So is it necessary to do that? No, it is not. I'm coming to the conclusion that it's not necessary to talk. Not necessary to talk. Now we have to do it, but it is not necessary. This regurgitating things. Is that necessary? No. It is not necessary to do that. Is it necessary when somebody says, how are you, to tell them how you really are? No, that's not necessary. I never say to anyone, I feel bad. I say, I'm wonderful. I'm great. I'm marvelous. It's not necessary. But, wow, somebody says to me, well, that's not being honest. Like I should care. You know, it's not. People want to be down, they want to be honest. Oh, I have to tell the truth. No, you don't have to tell the truth, because nobody knows the truth anyway, and it's all through your perception. You see, it's all through your perception. So if you want your world, and this world that we live in, to be different, you have to start saying things differently. Letting go of that habit that you think, well, it's necessary for me to tell how bad the traffic was. It's not necessary for you to tell how bad the traffic was. Who cares? You know? You don't. First of all, you should not have bad traffic. If your life is in divine right order, you don't have bad traffic. You don't have bad traffic. And if you do get into bad traffic, don't talk about it. You only cause more of it. And you're setting up that reality, you see. You want to make your world what you want it to be, and you can do that. My world is completely different than most people's. I love my world, and I know that I have made it up, and that's wonderful. I think it's wonderful, you know. Works for me. I don't particularly care if it works for other people. What I want each and every one of you people to realize is, you can make your own life the way you want it. You don't have to pattern it after anybody. And you certainly don't have to pattern it after the culture that you live in. Culture is a restraining thing on your life. So look at it and say, I'm not going to do that stuff. I'm going to live my life the way I want it to be. I am going to create my own world. Now, when I say that, I'm going to create my own world, I didn't say I'm going to change the world. I didn't say anything. My world, what I live in, the way I live. I told you years ago when people come up to me and say, oh, this is wrong and that's wrong, and oh, I look at them and say, oh, thank God I don't live in your universe. I live in my own universe, the one that I made. I live in my own mind. And I make sure that that mind is thinking correctly. So it's not necessary for my mind to point out the bad things in life, so-called bad things in life. I only point out the good things in life. Why do I do that? Because I want more of it. And I want it one day for everyone to do that. You see, if everyone did that, this world would be completely different. It would be completely different. So it's done with your mind. It's done with your thinking. So, is it necessary, some of the things that you are thinking? I don't think so. Let me see if I can give you an example to pinpoint what I'm talking about. Somebody calls on the telephone, you say, that person, I don't want it. And you go down the line. I don't want to talk to them, they're awful, this happens, that happens every time, and they're no good, and this, that, and the other. Is that necessary? No, that's not necessary. That's your mind spinning a story. Your mind loves to spin stories, people. And it'll pick up anything and keep it going. Don't do it. It's not necessary to let your mind do that to you. So now we're back to the idea that you are not your mind. And I've said that for years now, and you all know that you're not your mind. But yet you let your mind run your life. You see, your mind is yours to use. You must learn to use it correctly. It's done with your mind. It's done with your thinking. Everything. So when you come to the point in the morning, I get up and I do my meditations and my readings and so forth, and I look around and I say to myself, I am creating my life one thought at a time. I am creating my life one thought at a time. Now you say to yourself, I'm creating. I'm using my mind correctly. This wonderful gift that I have been given called the mind, I now know how to use correctly. And I use it correctly. Use your mind. It's a wonderful thing. But know while you're doing that, it is you are causing your mind to think. Your mind does not think on its own. But it has a little trick, and it tricks you into thinking your mind is doing stuff. It always tricks you into thinking, oh, my mind's doing it. Your mind's not doing a damn thing. Not doing a thing. You are doing it. So you have to train your mind. You have to take control of your mind and give up those other ideas which for years you thought were necessary. Because everyone else is doing it. Just because everyone else is thinking that way, you do not have to. But you must come to the realization that you are a creative person and you are creating everything through your mind. Through your mind. As soon as you have a thought, your mind will take that and turn it into whatever you want it to be. But you must control that, you're saying. You must know exactly what you want and put that in your mind and tell your mind, this is exactly what I want. You say, I have to say, and damn it, I don't want anything but this. You're saying, you take control, and then the mind will listen to you instead of you listening to your mind all the time. You see? Instead of you listening to your mind all the time. I have a client from Chicago, and he is so steeped in psychology that it's very difficult for him to do anything, because he goes back to psychology. Well, because if this happened to me and that happened to me and my father, my mother did this and my father did this. That's unnecessary thinking, people. It's unnecessary thinking. We think we have to think those thoughts. We think off because everyone else is doing it. You see? Let other people go to the therapist. And there's nothing wrong with going to therapy. If you run into a difficult situation and you need help out of it, do it. It's a crutch to get you through to you healed. Don't drag it with you the rest of your life, you see. And people love to drag that with them the rest of their life. And you can live there. Now, what's wrong with that idea of if you're in psychology and you use psychology, now you're living in that world of psychology. You see, you're feeding that stuff to your mind. And your mind is not going to go past that. It's never going to go past that. So you put yourself into a box. This psychology stuff puts you into a box. And again, I'll say, there's nothing wrong with it. If you need those things, the only thing I would like you to understand is that psychology is a very soft science. And it has never been proved. It has never been proved. And as we go through life, now they're discounting Freud. They're completely discounting Freud. He made, this isn't right, that isn't right. And the next one they'll do, you know, because these are people's ideas and so forth. They're people's ideas and they change. You see, this teaching is the only teaching that if you pay attention, it will heal your mind. And how does it heal your mind? By telling you that there's a power greater than you that you can use. A power that's greater than you. And you have to realize that. And then you have to say, I'm one with that power. I am one with that power. And then your mind will come up with the necessary things that you need to achieve what you want. This is the most marvelous, marvelous universe, and this is the most marvelous concept, and it can be proved scientifically. And what is that? What you think about, you bring about. What you think about, you bring about. So think of yourself always in the best light. Think of yourself always as one with this thing called God, and know that you have the power to use that. That's what this whole thing is about. No big thing. People are out there doing this, that, and the other thing. When you realize that your mind is yours to use, and that what you think about, you bring about, then you train yourself to only think thoughts that heal you and bless you and prosper you. Don't think any thought that doesn't heal you, bless you, or prosper you. It's unnecessary, and it's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to get you anywhere. So consolidate your thinking into that. And you're going to only think thoughts that heal you, bless you, and prosper you. When I first, oh, this is years and years ago, was training my mind, I used my imagination. Your imagination is the greatest tool that you have been given. You must learn to use it. Now, I wanted only thoughts in my thinking that would heal me, bless me, and prosper me. So I envisioned a sentinel at the gate to my brain, to my mind. And that sentinel kept everything else out. Any thoughts that I didn't want didn't enter. They didn't enter. You see? And that's what you must learn to do. Most of the things you're thinking and doing are not necessary anyway. Most of it's just pure habit. And most of it is because you see everybody else doing it. Because you see everyone else doing this stuff, you think, oh, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it's supposed to be, people. It's not the way. You have a mind. And it's an individual mind. It doesn't think the way my mind thinks. It thinks differently, but it thinks. You see? It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you at all. It doesn't mean that. And we're taught sometimes that our, you know, something's malfunctioning in our brain. For years, and I still have it to some extent, I was very dyslexic, very dyslexic. And I worked on it, and I worked on it. And I finally ran into a teacher. And she said, I can help you with that, Dallas. I said, good. She said, the first thing I want you to do is pretend you don't have it. Is pretend you don't have it. So I pretend I don't have it. I don't run around telling everyone that I'm dyslexic. The more you say that, the more you go out there and oh, poor, pitiful me, I cannot know my right from my left. You're only making it worse. You're only making it worse. But the point is, you can have all these little things that people say your brain is malfunctioning or whatever. How do we know if it's malfunctioning? We don't know if it's malfunctioning. But it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. You see? Years ago, if you had any of that stuff, there was something wrong with you. Same with left-handed people. You're thinking, yes, left-handed people. There was something wrong with them. Yes. Now we accept left-handed people because I
think so is
pardon?
Obama.
Yeah.
Obama.
He's
Clinton.
Was he? Well, there's tons of left-handed people out there. It doesn't mean that your brain is malfunctioning in any way, shape, or form. You must say to yourself, "I have a good mind. I have a good mind." And I can get what I want. You see, most people don't get what they want because they think, oh, well, my mind's faulty. you're smarter than I am. Smartness and intelligence has nothing to do with this, people. Nothing to do with it. It's your determination that has everything to do with it. You see, a lot of intelligent people have no determination. A lot of people with what average IQs and so forth, if they have determination, they can zoom. You've seen that in your classes. Mm-hmm. They zoom to the top. So get rid of any idea that you have that there may be something malfunctioning in your brain. There is nothing malfunctioning there. Why? Because we're all connected to the one mind, the mind of God. And that mind is certainly not malfunctioning. God does not malfunction, people, regardless of what you've been told. The other thing is this, it's never necessary to think that this thing called God is punishing in any way, shape, or form. I'm absolutely appalled that that thought is still around. If we get a hurricane or something, what was God's will? Oh my, how damn dumb can you be? It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. Now, our dear friend Emmett Fox was under the opinion that we control the weather. And we do control the weather. We can control the hurricanes. There's a hurricane coming onto the coast in Florida. And my friend Beverly, who used to live in Glendale, called and said, "Dallas, let's push that off the coast so it doesn't hit," because she had friends there. So we sat down, did our work, and it changed paths, the hurricane. Changed paths. This is the power I want you to know that you have. I know you may think it's airy-fairy or creepy or whatever, but it's not, people. It's not. And when you get collective consciousness behind you, you can do anything. I don't know if you remember the space shuttle that was off course. And they thought surely it was going to crash or whatever it was going to do. And they asked the people around the world to pray. The people prayed and that spaceship came back onto orbit or line or whatever you want to call that. Because there's power in thought. And there's tons of power in prayer.
Yeah, I was in Atlanta and they had a horrible drought. And they all laughed because the governor went out and prayed, and literally, the next year they had monsoons of rain. They had so much rain, and they were all laughing, like, "Why would the governor do something like that? It's preposterous, you know, like he prayed for." And the next year, their reserves were all filled.
You see, we all say that God is good and God is great, and we all go to these churches and we all do that. But when we say, "Let's pray for this drought," and people go, "Oh, you can't do that." But I've never heard of such a thing. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, of course you can. You have to use God all the time. There's a cute story, and I love this one, about a passenger ship. And it was starting to sink. So the captain did this, and they did this, and they did, the lifeboat, whatever. Finally, captain comes on, the speaker, and said, "Well, people, we're going to have to pray." Some woman in the crowd said, "Oh my God, has it come down to that? Has it come down to that?" Meaning, that's the last desperate thing. It should always be the first thing. You see, God. But we try everything else before, and then we find, maybe we'll try this thing called God. You know, I suggest don't leave home without it. You know, use it all the time. That's what this is about. That's what this teaching is about. And that's what this whole idea and this whole concept of a God is about. And maybe we shouldn't even call it God. We can call it energy, power, whatever it is. In 54 BC, I think it was, Marcus Aurelius, who was a Caesar, he had discovered this. He thought everyone had he called it a fire within them, and everyone had that fire and so forth inside of them. So we've known about power. We've known that there's something inside of us that we're connected to this power. But we keep forgetting to use it because the world is too convincing. It tells you it cannot be done. And you have to know that it can be done. And once it's done, everyone will accept it, you see. People will jump on the bandwagon, so to speak. They don't jump on the bandwagon now, because they still haven't reached it. We have churches, my goodness, scoping down the street, how many churches and stuff are there? And people still don't use God. They use something else, you see. This teaching, by the way, started, you know, also, metaphysics, as a healing teaching, physical healings. But that went down the tubes as soon as people, you know, went to the minor clinic, the major clinic, the next to minor, and, you know, up and down.
Died.
Yeah. But we have too many other things. Look at Cedar Sinai Hospital, which just keeps growing. It's the biggest behemoth in the world. Well, that's very impressive to people. See, that's very impressive. Doesn't impress me. But it impresses people, and we turn ourselves over to that edifice instead of saying, oh, well, I think God can help me here, you see. Always go there first, people. Don't let yourself or your mind say, oh, he said, as a last resort, we'll use God. God should always be your first, your first. So instill that in your mind, that God is first. And we use that constantly for people who want abundance and prosperity. God is always going to be your source and your supply. It's only God, you see. Only ever God. It's not the source. It's not the supply. It's God as source and supply. And when you know that, things will happen for you. You see? Instead of saying, oh, it's my job. It's not your job that's giving you the money. It looks like that. That's just one of the channels that this thing called God is using to bring you the prosperity that you are looking for. This thing, the prosperity that you are looking for. We're all looking for that prosperity. We're all looking for that abundance, and we want it. We want those things. I told you when I was a child, they used to have, I think it was Seventh Day Adventist on the television. And the program always started with a saying of Jesus, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God did not mean money and shopping malls and all that stuff. To have life abundantly is to see life all around you. To see and to know that the grass and the trees and the flowers, everything is adding to your enjoyment. It's adding to your enjoyment. That's what this thing called God does. Brings you everything. Didn't throw you down on this plane of action and say, ha ha ha, get lost. It brought you here to enjoy life. It brought you here to have life more abundantly, meaning that you feel life, that you see life all around you, that you love your life. Besides feeling your heart beating all the time, do you feel other things inside of your body? Listen, God is in here. Yeah, true. God is in there. Bring that out. Bring that to the forefront. And you can do that when you give up all these things that are not necessary. Most things we're doing are not necessary. Most things today are to distract you. So when you're distracted, the world can pull the wool over your eyes. Do not be distracted. Do not be distracted. Use all those things. I'm not saying stop going to theater or movies or any of that kind of stuff. But realize what it's doing and what you're doing with it. That's all. It's just noticing. What am I doing? What am I doing? And notice, how am I thinking? Have I given up things that are not necessary? Are some of the things that I have been thinking all these years absolutely not necessary? Probably. I'm ready to give up all that stuff. I am absolutely ready to give all that stuff up. Does that mean my memories and so forth? Some. Absolutely. What's the use of holding on to all that stuff? It's not doing a damn bit of good, you see? And for the past, the only memory I want of the past is it was great. I enjoyed it. It was great. I enjoyed it. Which brings me to this. Elizabeth Taylor. I adored Elizabeth Taylor. The world adored Elizabeth Taylor. The rags, those horrible papers that are out there, adored Elizabeth Taylor. Why did they adore Elizabeth Taylor? Because she said, I do not complain and I do not explain. She never complained about anything, and she never complained. Richard Burton hit me. No, you never heard a bad word out of her mouth about Richard Burton or any of the other 8 husbands she had. And the world adored her for it. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Do not complain and do not explain. Excuse me. Live your life the way you want. Get rid of the unnecessary things in your thinking. And control that mind of yours. Know that it is a creative force that you have and can use. Because if you don't train your mind and bring it under control, your mind will take you out of control. It will take you right out of control. Why that is, I have no idea why that stuff is. You see. This brings me to one more thing. This teaching, you know, never teaches the whys of life. It teaches the how. How can I make my life better? not why did this happen to me. Why is my life going this way? No, it doesn't do that, this teaching. If you stay with this teaching, and you all are wonderfully educated, I think, in it now, keep in mind, it's always this, and what you think about, you bring about. And it's wonderful. So are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.